Hello, everyone, and thank you, first of all, to Lord Will and Cindy for our time of music, song, and praise. Now we're going to move into our time of study, instruction, and meditation. And so to begin, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I want to let you know that from now, I'm going to change the view on this camera, and you're going to be looking at my computer screen as I explain this text to you. And the reason for that is, why not? This is a visual medium, and so let's go ahead and look at this text together as we're going to study it. And then I think that's the most effective way for me, and most comfortable for me, I think, instead of me looking into this camera the whole time. So also, before we begin, I want to let you know that there is going to be a third portion of our service just after this short time of study, and it will be more interactive. It will be a time of prayer and testimony like we usually do, and it will be more, it will be on a separate app or website. So please stick around until the end of the video. I'd like to explain that to you a little bit more. So here we are. Let's go ahead and begin at Luke chapter 10. So here we are, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37, the story of the Good Samaritan, as it is popularly known. But I would like to title it the story of the ultimate Samaritan, because what many people think is that this story is about a good man who helped somebody along his way. But no, ultimately, this story is about the God-man, Jesus Christ, who not only helped us, but saved us, not at the risk of his life, but at the cost of it. And so before we begin, let's look at this painting by Vincent van Gogh, The Good Samaritan. You can see the Samaritan in the middle of the picture. He's carrying the half-dead Israelite, putting him on his own donkey. And here we have in the background the Levite and the priest walking by and going their own way, virtually ignoring a man who's lying half dead on the road. And of course, the Samaritan is front and center because he's the main character in this story. And so we like to think, yes, we should be like this Samaritan, giving, sacrificial, absolutely caring for the needs of others at the cost of our own. And yes, that is true, but Jesus is doing much more than showing us how we should be. He's actually showing us what we need to repent of. And it's not the Samaritan that we should look to ultimately. It is the teacher or the expert in the law. He is the one who instigated this whole story by trying to trap Jesus with a question. And so let's look at that question here. In verse 25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus." In other words, he thought Jesus was not serious about God. He wasn't serious about obedience to God as he's revealed in the Old Testament. And so he wanted to trap Jesus with this question. And the question was, here, sorry about this, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, do you take the Bible seriously? You hang out with all these lowlifes and no-gooders and, you know, prostitutes and tax collectors, basically sinners. Jesus, do you take the law seriously? And so Jesus says, all right, let's play this game. Let's do this. "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" All right, so now the tax collector could go one of two ways. He could stand there for the next 2 days and basically recite from memory all 600 plus of the regulations and rules of the Mosaic Law. No, he doesn't do that. He's at least that smart. He gives the summary of the law. Verse 27, "Love the Lord your God." Oops, excuse me. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's from the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 24, 6 verse 4. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So, two parts. If you look at the Ten Commandments, that's exactly what it is, right? The first four are, you know, I will be your only God, no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Don't worship any idols. Keep the Sabbath holy. Love the Lord with your God with all your time, with all your strength, all your energy, all your thoughts, everything. 100% submitted to me. And then the other half of the Ten Commandments is honor your mother and father, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and basically love your neighbor as yourself. 100% sacrificial love. And then the first part is 100% submissive love to God. Be obedient and then be loving and kind, compassionate to your neighbor with as much strength, effort, and joy that you put into yourself, put that into your neighbor. That's basically what the law is. In other words, be a good person, right? That's what everybody believes. So Jesus says, yeah, that's right. You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. In other words, Jesus knows what we all know if we're honest with ourselves, and that is to try to be completely obedient and completely loving to our neighbor and to God. This is impossible. In other words, living this life of submissive and sacrificial love is a way of life, but it is not the way to life. If you do this, you will be saved, but this is not the way that we actually saved. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do this and you will live. And this expert in the law knew this. He understood. That's right. Okay? I can't do this perfectly. So Jesus is saying, I take this law, I take this this Bible a whole lot more seriously than you do, because I know that if you do this perfectly, that's how you live. But we all understand that's not how we're saved. And so this priest thinks, yeah, all right. Now he's on the defense, and the priest is trying to justify himself. In other words, okay, all right, I can't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength if I'm honest. So at least let me try. How about my neighbor? Who qualifies as someone that deserves my neighborly love? Someone that I could give my love to in a way that qualifies me and fulfills my requirements to be accepted by God. And so he asks, who is my neighbor? Jesus, give me at least something that I can do to fulfill the law, right? So Jesus now is revealing to him something about himself that he did not realize. And so that brings us to the second half of this story. The parable of the Good Samaritan. The story begins with a man who is traveling on a very dangerous portion of road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's known as the Pass of Blood, where many people are left dead and broke. He is attacked by robbers, stripped of his clothes, beaten, and left for dead. Two people pass by, a priest and a Levite, basically two men who had the responsibility of caring for someone who is dying. But they basically walk by and, in effect, just ignore him. We'll get to the reason in just a moment. But then there's the third character, the Samaritan, who he's traveling by. He sees the man. He saw him and took pity on him. And so out of his compassion for this man, he cares for him physically. He meets his medical needs. He meets his transportation needs. He meets his needs for care and housing. Not only that, he meets his financial needs. And then finally, he meets his future needs. About this 2 denarii. Effectively, that basically gives him about 2 months of rent at this inn. Have you ever tried to help house somebody for at least 2 months? Maybe some of you have had this experience, and you know this is no easy sacrifice. This is something that requires a lot of money. So we see this great act of compassion, of meeting a physical need, transportation, housing, financial needs, and future needs. Amazing. But I think the greatest thing that this Samaritan did was not just give up his schedule, give up his time, and give up his money, but he basically put his own life at risk. Because look at the priest and the Levite. You know what? You kind of cannot blame them for leaving this man half dead. He's half dead, which means the robbers are probably still nearby. He's not completely dead yet. And so if they stop to help this man, they could end up being broke and dead themselves. And they just walk on by. They ask the question, if I help this man, what would happen to me? The Samaritan flipped the question around and said, if I don't help this man, what would happen to him? And that leads to this incredible act of mercy and kindness. And Jesus then turns to the questioner once more, to the expert in the law, and he flips the question on him. Do you remember? The whole point was this man asked, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells the story and in the end says, now, you tell me, who is the neighbor? And all the expert in the law could do was give this reply of the one who had mercy on him. He couldn't even say the name of the Samaritan because he hated him that much. Even a fictional character. Jesus, what he's doing here is revealing to this expert in the law his own pride and prejudice. You are enemies of the Samaritans. But can you even admit that even the Samaritan, who doesn't know the Bible as much as you, who doesn't believe the same God as you, who doesn't have the same religion as you, who you think you're much better than, even he is capable of being a good person and doing what is required of God for eternal life. So Jesus is not only asking the expert in law, he's asking us. We are all experts in our own law of, if I can be good enough, I can fulfill the requirement of being a good human being. And so God should accept me. And Jesus is saying, yeah, go and do likewise. If you're honest with yourself, you know you can't do that. That's impossible. You need first to someone who can be a neighbor to you. The only way that you can do this is by someone coming to you, not only at the risk of his life, but at the cost of his life, and providing for every single one of your needs, and not only your needs physically, but your needs spiritually, not only your needs here on earth, but your needs for all of eternity. You need Jesus. You need me. And until you repent of your arrogance and your selfishness, you'll never be able to love sacrificially, compassionately, like this Samaritan. But if you can understand the extent to which I have loved you and how much I have given to you, then you'll be able to understand a little bit of what this Samaritan did. This story points ultimately to Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who lived the perfect life that we should have lived, who loved perfectly, that how much we should have loved. And if we put our trust in him and ask him to teach us what it means to love like a Samaritan, then we'll understand what it means to follow him completely. So that is what this story is all about.
Okay, so I hope that was okay for you. We're going to go now from our time in the Word to our time, hopefully screen to screen, face to face, where we will be sharing with each other how our week went, testimony times, and then in time of prayer. So this will be done on a Zoom meeting, and it will be through a web browser, or you can download the app in Zoom. If you would like to join, go ahead and send me an email at the address you see at the bottom of the screen, and definitely include your name in that email so that we'll know who it is who is trying to get into the Zoom meeting, and we'll figure out how to invite you through that email into the Zoom. So hopefully we'll see you there.